Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
It's time for the Friday gathering now, and in the studio we have Eoin Oirthon, Labour TD for Dublin Bay North, party spokesperson on education, and Susan Daly, managing editor at the Journal Media. I'm joined from our Limerick studio by Patrick O'Donovan, Fine Gael TD for Limerick, Minister for the Office of Public Works and Flood Relief. Good morning to you all. You're all very welcome. I know you're all listening to Michael O'Leary there. Patrick, maybe I'll come to you because he wants an answer from the government on this issue around travel and children not being allowed to travel freely. If they're under the age of 18, when they come back into Ireland, they have to face quarantine rules. He is not happy about that, and he says other European countries are doing it differently.
Yeah, but look, I understand why he's not happy. He's in the business of trying to get planes back in the sky, and you know, I support him to a point where we'd love to see planes back in the sky and the aviation sector opened up, and I'd love to see an end to mandatory hotel quarantine and everything associated with it. We'd love to see business as usual, but as a government we have a responsibility to respond to what is a public health pandemic, and the reality is that we're dealing with a situation that we know it has not gone away, and we know from the previous waves how this virus mutates and how it interacts with the public, and it still hasn't gone away. And you know, in fairness, I think you challenged him quite well in the sense that children do get sick, and to say the children don't get sick, that actually factually is not correct. And we do want to keep the schools open, and so he is correct that the vaccine has changed everything. And you know, I have young children myself, and I'd love to be in a situation where I could say that we would go on a foreign holiday, you know, this summer. But the reality is, we want to keep the schools open, and we want to make sure that we are in a situation next September that we're not back where we were last January. That is a risk.
Does he have a point, Eoin, though, that we are an outlier here in Europe?
I think his contribution was an embarrassment. I think some people hold up Michael O'Leary as being some kind of national hero. I think he just had 10 minutes of free airtime for himself. He rang in to put his point of view. I don't know how his point of view is considered to be more important than those who've been deeply affected by this pandemic. For someone to come on the national airways and say things like "scariant" is an embarrassment. I think he's a national embarrassment after what he's come on air to say today. We are really struggling to get through this.
He's the boss of a major airline.
Fine, that's
Europe,
fine. And lots of people have died. 4,000 people have died. People can't visit their young ones in care homes. People are struggling to keep their families together. We have people who can't pay rent. We've all sorts of difficulties in this pandemic. We've all been through it.
He's entitled to ask if our rules are different to every other EU country.
He's not entitled to come on the airways and use phraseology like "scariant."
Well, he was challenged on that.
And he's not entitled to come on the airways and give information that's based on medical expertise that he doesn't have. So in fairness, and myself and Patrick O'Donovan have lots of disagreements over how we can, you know, work our way through this pandemic. What we don't need is to have that kind of divisive intervention from somebody who should know better.
Yeah,
and I thought his contribution was embarrassing.
Well, people are entitled to have their point of view, and we were happy to facilitate him coming on, and we did challenge him on the points that he made. Susan?
And Claire, much as I kind of agree on the language that's used by Michael O'Leary, and this is the way he communicates, and we know that he's a showman, and he's also the head of a big company. That's what his expertise is in, not in the medical side of it. But I will say he hit on something, which is that we're not necessarily about to see people want to go off to their holidays in Spain. We are talking about people who were very connected to Britain. We have a lot of people who have family here back and forth, and they haven't seen family in a long time. We have people whose parents are elderly and so on. And I do think they want answers. So while I do think that Michael O'Leary and the pinch of salt are on the same side of the table for me, I think that there will be some people listening who might not like the way he said it, but want answers to the questions that he was posing there. So if there is communication coming out about your children will have to quarantine, that needs to be relayed really, mm-hmm. really quickly to people and to the public.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about the Dublin Bay South by-election now. Let's start with you, Patrick O'Donovan, again on this, because just from the latest tally that we got there from Mary Regan with 48.6% of the votes tallied, your candidate, James Gagan, it's a real neck and neck situation, isn't it? Everyone's around the 25% mark.
It is, yeah. I mean, it's there's 50% of the boxes opened, and I think they've started in the inner city and they're working out. So, you know, it's I suppose, based on social distancing as well, from what I gather from our own people, I think it's about one person per box, where you'd normally have up to four people per box, where you'd have two people, what they say, calling the votes and two people marking the votes. So, you know, the accuracy, I suppose there will be percentages thereabouts. But
yeah, look, will you tell us what your people are telling you in relation to James Gagan and his chances at this stage?
Yeah, they're very happy. I mean, the reality is that some of the stronger Fine Gael areas haven't been opened at all yet. So we're very happy that, first of all, we've had a very good campaign, in the sense that James was really well received on the ground, and we had a huge number of people out all the time for him. So in terms of what we've seen so far from the tallies that have been out, you know, we're very happy.
A huge number of ministers out for him, pounding the streets, certainly.
All the time. Yeah, because he's an excellent candidate, and we wanted to make sure that the vast majority of people that we could...
Because you were worried about Ivana Bacik, I'd say.
Well, I mean, in my time in the Dáil since 2011, we've fought a number of by-elections at this stage now, and we've won a good share of them as well. Gabrielle McFadden and Helen McEntee were two of the ones that spring to mind that I was involved with myself with colleagues.
Yeah.
It's always been a Fine Gael tradition that when a by-election is called, and as a party in government, are, you know, we've always thrown all of our resources in. So this is not unusual that we put all of our Oireachtas colleagues out all the time, okay, and make them all the time available.
Aon, what are you hearing about this now, where we have this three-horse race?
Well, look, we're very hopeful. I mean, just to thank the people of Dublin Bay South who've been opening their doors to us and engaging us in conversation, and we've been listening to what they've been saying for the last month, and I've particularly enjoyed it. And like, we're incredibly proud of our own candidate, Ivana. I think everybody who knows her knows that she's been campaigning on the right side of history for 30 years, and many of those battles that she fought were particularly lonely, and she put up an awful lot of abuse over her life, but she has stuck to her convictions. And that came out when we were campaigning, and people who might not necessarily agree with her on everything certainly know that she's a person of conviction.
So what are you hearing then? Can she
win
look,
this? She is polling extremely well, and it'll all come down to the transfers. And on that, you know, what has proven to the Labour Party is that when you run somebody with integrity and conviction, you're going to pull well, and that's what happens. She could win the seat. Either way, she has performed absolutely incredibly. The amount of people who have come to the campaign who weren't members of the Labour Party, who wanted to see her elected to the Dáil, was really inspiring to me. Like, she inspires me every day. And sometimes you have bad days in politics and you look at Ivana and go, well, that's the reason why I'm still involved.
Okay.
So we would be hopeful for a win. Either way, in the next general election, you know, it'll be quite clear that Ivana will be a hot tip for winning in the general
election. What's your standout, Susan, from what you've seen so far, the tallies, what we're hearing?
Oh, I mean, what's happening today and the neck and neck race is really interesting. And Lynn Boylan appears to be dropping down, which is probably disappointing for Sinn Féin. Without preempting the result, I'd be very interested to know if Fine Gael think that they've made a mistake in their campaigning, because there's been very much conversation around it's Sinn Féin versus Fine Gael.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, I think that is to do with Fine Gael kind of putting Sinn Féin up as the bogeyman, essentially. And that was backed up by a very panicked social media communication last night from Fine Gael. Had to check it four times to make sure it was actually them. It had in, I think, block capitals, warning, like, if you don't want to see Sinn Féin come in. And it had in the background a transparency with Mary Lou hovering in the right-hand corner like some sort of ghost of Jacob Marble, I don't know, coming in from the side and basically going, quick, get down to the last of the polls and keep Sinn Féin out, was the message. Meanwhile, the whole time Ivana Bacik is here doing what she does. And so, you know, I'm just wondering, is this a sort of a writ large version of how politics are being pursued in this country? And we're coming out of the pandemic.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what shape this will take eventually have an election.
If I might say, Claire, I think James Gagan is a fine person. I'm quite sure he's a great future in politics. I think he ran himself a particularly positive campaign. I thought the Fine Gael campaign was a little short of a disgrace from the off. Trying to pit this entire competition about being between Fine Gael and Sinn Féin. They do this every day in the Dáil. It's mutually beneficial between the two of them. They're both trading on negatives. So Sinn Féin trade on anger and Fine Gael are trading on fear. And what they did yesterday was little short of a disgrace.
With the warning message.
This warning message basically saying, how are this, you know, Sinn Féin voters are voting, so you must get out and vote. I mean, it was incredible. And some of the social media videos I thought were you know, tone deaf. Speaking of a Fine Gael seat, like, these seats belong to the people. This is sort of this language that they use. And then the sort of scaremongering. And then to suggest that, you know, people like Ivana Batric have only ever opposed things, when people like Ivana Batric have proposed things that people in Fine Gael, you know, opposed, like the Eighth Amendment, like marriage equality.
I'm surprised I have to invite you back in to respond. I thought you'd be helping here.
The by-election is over now and the people have had their say, but I mean, the reality is that what Fine Gael have done in the campaign is just highlight what people have done in relation to their record, whether it is in the Seanad or in the councils. And I mean, if people take issue with us reminding them of what they have done in relation to their legislative career, that's, you know, that's not something we apologise for. That's
like when you opposed, Patrick.
Sorry, hold on. I didn't come across you.
And when Leo Varadkar opposed repeal and opposed marriage equality when Ivana Batric was actually campaigning for these things.
I didn't cut across you. And I mean, I know. Like, the election is over. And I mean, the people
politics is not just about elections.
And it's an awful pity that you have to come on and constantly try and shout down people. It's a tactic that you constantly use. But anyway, the reality is that when we as a party remind politicians, particularly in the opposition, you know, whether they oppose houses that people want to get built, whether it's Sinn Féin's record of opposing 6,000 houses across Dublin, and other parties are good at opposing houses that people want to get built as well, they get very tetchy all of a sudden in relation to their record. And, you know, as a party in government, we're held to account, but we'll also hold people in opposition to account. That's a good thing. And when people are held to account in opposition, they get very tetchy.
Well, I suppose it's the point that Leon's making is about the negative campaign that he sees was run against Sinn Féin.
Well, he might view it as a negative, but we view it as reminding people of what they stand for. I mean,
How does Sinn Féin voters are voting? How do you know?
Just let him in there.
I'm here to answer Claire's question. In relation to, for instance, the Special Criminal Court, I mean, we'll hold the Sinn Féin party to account. I'm here to answer Claire's questions. We'll hold the Sinn Féin party, for instance, to account in their record in law and order in relation to their opposition to the construction of social housing all over Dublin.
Okay, and they're not here to answer those points, Patrick. But just on the point of that message last night that went out, warning, if you want to keep, what did it say, Sinn Féin out?
Sinn Féin voters are voting.
Yeah. So why do that at that stage last night? Do you know?
It's very important, I think, on the day of an election that a party uses whatever tools it has available to it, to make sure that, first of all, people are reminded of the fact that there's an election on, and to make sure that people are aware of other political parties' backgrounds and what it is that they stand
for. It's just interesting that happened last night, though, Patrick O'Donovan, because the threat was actually coming from Ivana Batric at that stage.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody should feel threatened by the fact that a party goes out and reminds people of what other people stand for. And, you know, the Labour Party do this continuously.
I just don't understand why Fine Gael didn't feel threatened by Labour. And for me, that feels like something that isn't to do with we're looking actually at the candidacy and getting our candidate in. It looks like part of a wider campaign a political thing that people are sick of. And I'm not from a political party. I'm saying that people are really tired of this narrative, and I'm wondering how Fine Gael reconcile this to themselves with their long-term strategy.
One thing we won't be taking is lectures from people who delete social media posts when you know they get cut out.
Is this me, Patrick, you're talking about?
No, I mean, Aon, for instance, has had an occasion, he's had to delete social media posts where, you know, they haven't exactly landed appropriately. So, I mean, we won't be taking lectures from anybody who wishes to do that.
Right. Claire, you know, what I've noticed since I come back into Dáil last year is this deliberate strategy from Sinn Féin on one side, but definitely from Fine Gael on the other. At one point, I was able to point to 12 tweets that Leo Varadkar had posted about Sinn Féin over the previous 6 months, and not one of them, not one tweet about youth unemployment. Because what they want to create is a two-party argument, and everybody else can forget about it.
So they're entitled to do a campaign, but both of them
are based on the negative. So, Sinn Féin, hold on, Patrick. Now, thanks very much. So Sinn Féin will deal in anger. And what Fine Gael will do will deal in fear. And the rest of us are actually trying to provide solutions. And, you know, this is the type of politics that the people, as Susan's quite rightly said, are getting tired of. Now, when
well,
it comes
well,
to...
you're getting tired of it, but maybe it's effective if you're in Sinn Féin or
well,
Fine Gael.
Well, fine. And I think people are beginning to see through it. And thankfully, in this by-election, it appears that while Sinn Féin did their thing and Fine Gael did their... I mean, I never thought I'd sit in a studio like this and be more critical of Fine Gael's election tactics than I would of Sinn Féin. Okay. But here I am.
Just a bit of news, Patrick. Yeah. Hang on a second now. Micheál Lehane is on saying some indications now in the Labour Party camp, certainly, that Ivana Bacci could now top the poll. The official line is that she is meeting or exceeding targets in the tally returns so far. Kevin Cunningham, who is a pollster and TUD lecturer, is on Twitter saying right now, I'm calling it for Ivana Bacci.
Well, look, if that's true, We'll be delighted with that. I think what Ivana Bacic has always been has been about issues, and this is the point. These are issues Patrick O'Donovan will have to accept himself that he didn't sign up to repeal, couldn't find him when it came to marriage equality, similar to his party leader. This is what Ivana Bacic
well,
has stood for.
Position and that position you're attributing to Leo Varadkar is an old position.
An old position, but what I'm saying is that... Yeah, but
Ivana,
and that's fine. But my point about Ivana is that she's always stood for these things, and that's why people voted for her. I think there's a wider message there for us as a party to stick with our convictions of what we believe in. And if she does win, we'll be happy. But at the same time, there's questions here for the entirety of the political spectrum. Well, let's say another thing, Claire, in fairness to James Gagan. I thought some of the commentary around him was unfair. I thought it was quite personal. I thought it was unnecessary. You want people to run for election. You don't want, you know, their family background or their personal background brought in. Mm. Criticism is fair enough. Abuse isn't. And I think some of it's pushed over the line.
Can I actually agree, Claire, there with Aon? I think he's absolutely right in the last part. I mean, I don't think anybody else, for instance, in a broadsheet paper got a full article, you know, devoted to them in relation to their suitability. And I mean, if it was done by you know, to any other candidate, you know, in this week's Irish Times, I don't think any other candidate got a full article devoted to them, you okay. know, to me, it was almost a form of trolling what was done on James Gagan in this week's Irish Times.
But this is a very serious situation for your party if you lose this seat.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look back at it since 1980, I think a handful of government TDs have won. You have to go back to Noel Tracy, I think, in 1980 to find a government TD that has held a government seat. But we're in no way conceding this. I mean, this is we haven't even got a full first count tally in relation to this yet. We've one observer that might be calling it. You know, so I think we've less than 50% of the tallies in relation to this.
No, we're way above that now. The last one I saw was 64%.
Yeah, so I mean, there's 40% of the boxes out there and in areas that have yet to be called. But look, we'll wait and see what happens, and whoever wins it, best of luck to them. But you know, I do agree with Aon in relation to the last point he made.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. We'll leave that one there. Susan, if that comes to pass, serious questions, not just for Fine Gael, but also Fianna Fáil.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that their candidate isn't polling very well at all.
Last tally I see, Deirdre Conroy, Fianna Fáil, is at 4.4%.
Yeah, something around 4%. So, and I mean, there was a consideration of, would some of her transfers go to James Gagan? But I'm not sure that there's going to be enough available for that to be an issue. So, yeah, I mean, this was something I said about, and wow, that escalated quickly for this chat. But really what I was asking was post-pandemic. So that's sort of like pulling together thing of last year, which then disintegrated. And I'm just really interested to see how Ireland is going to look in the next general election, what people are going to be voting on. And it seems to me the political parties have already got their eye on that.
Okay, 84% of the boxes are tallied now. Ivana Bacic's on 30.2%. Fine Gael's James Gagan on 26.3%. Bacic has this advantage, even though traditionally strong Fine Gael areas around Ranelagh and Beechwood have been tallied. Sinn Féin's Lynn Boylan is at 16.7%. The Green Party's Clara Byrne, 7.7%. Deirdre Conroy, 4.5% of the vote. And there's a question mark here over whether she'll make the threshold of 3,164 votes to reclaim her election expenses. Manix Flynn, independent, on 3.6%. Pollsters are now calling this a Labour win.